Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the Southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to the Northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent you. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place, and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. You look out of at the frozen landscape and you think, this is not April of 1861, but really it is. Or maybe 1858 or 59. Where's John Brown and the abolitionists? Where are the people screaming and killing? You'd want to think, well, we're Americans, we're rational people, we can step back from this, we can work it out. But how can you work out? What are you supposed to work out? Step back, Mr. Trump, step back, and we're not going to prosecute the $19 billion that have been taken from us in fraud as Somalis like Ilhan Omar snicker at us and laugh at us. We're supposed to just take it, right, and back down and cower. Is that what we do? And the other side is, what, we attack because we're angry? Because how dare you, you leftist scum, you're not going to tell us what to do in our own country. So we attack or militarize even more? They don't want any conversation. They don't want people to be calm. What they want is anger and upsetness and frenzy. They want those childish, angry leftist women, these awfuls, to get shot, to continue to get shot. And the story, their story is amplified and carried by the news media that's on the leftist side. And so the whole country is consumed by all this hatred. And just all we have to do is, Mr. President, all you have to do is kneel. Kneel to the left. Get down on your knees and give them our money, and we'll join you with our heads down. Think of when apes try to appease each other. They put their head down and they lift their palms up to be touched. Do you want that? Are we supposed to do that now? I don't know. But that's where we are, and that's what we're facing. As citizens continue to die, as the anger foams up, toxic and noxious, this is John Cass and Jeff Carlin from WGN Radio, and John Cass from johncassnews.com, your only place for a good cup of Midwestern common sense. And joining us to talk about all this, the retired police chief, Thomas Weitzel. And where are you as the republic cracks up, as opportunists and politicians on all sides try to make a bid for power, as a sniveling coward like Jacob Fry singing Somali songs and dancing The Somali dance begging for votes is one of those. And one breaking news note before we begin. Remember Judge Brown, Judge James Brown, the Cook County judge who retired and then wrote a column for me when he was retired and complained about the relaxed status of the bond judges when people like Brittany McGee were being burned alive on the CTA by a 72 times, a man arrested 72 times who screamed, "Burn, bitch, burn." Remember him? Well, boss Tony Preckwinkle and J.B. Pritzker apparently did not like what they read. And so they got their friends in the bar associations, the lawyers that snivel up to power, to demand that he be released. He had already resigned. He came back to the bench to help the county out because they needed help because of backlog cases. And they pulled the plug on him, the Supreme Court. What's he going to do now? Well, I think I've got a thing that he could do. He could sue their ass. He's an American who stepped down from the bench. He retired and then had opinions after he was retired from the bench. And so he expressed those opinions as the left keeps telling us Americans can do. See, they're only for diversity of opinion when diversity is agreeing with them. I think he should sue their ass. But we'll find out more. For now, we're going to talk to Thomas Weitzel, longtime police chief, about his new role to wake people of Illinois up in Awake Illinois. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
As promised, Thomas Weitzel is our guest. Tom is a retired police chief of Riverside. I'm looking at what's going on. You don't need blah, blah, blah from me, but I'll just throw it in anyway. Because we've got a situation where we're looking at the nullificationists of the South who wanted to keep slavery. And they're the active, aggressive left wing of the Democratic Party. And now they're fighting congressional law that's been passed by Congress on immigration matters. They're trying to nullify our immigration law. And they're doing it by any means necessary, screaming, shrieking, getting arrested, getting shot. So what do you think of all this, Tom?
Yeah, I think it's a coordinated effort to discredit ICE. You know, specifically, a lot of the narrative that you see or hear going around is just to the state that they're not law enforcement. They want to put a narrative out there to the public that somehow these federal agents are not police officers, and they are. I want to make it clear to your listeners that they're not local police. They're not local law enforcement, but ICE are federal law enforcement with full police powers. So anytime you hear this narrative that they don't have police powers, can't make arrests, don't issue warrants, only do detainers, that's not true. They are fully certified law enforcement federal agents.
And now what we see is going on with immigration and naturalization officers. is a direct attack by the Democrats to make it illegal for or stop the states from hiring these people after they've served their time as immigration officers. They can't, according now, Illinois and Pritzker and the Democrats have made it clear that they don't want these people coming to Illinois to work in local law enforcement.
Yeah, that's where we are today, right, John? I mean, and that's what Tom's here is. There's a bill, and we could get into the idiocies and foolishness of our legislative system in general and how bills are brought to be at a different time. But there's a bill that's brought up by State Senator Laura Fine at Glenview that is essentially doing what you're saying, John, is essentially would create this barrier from serving in ICE and being in law enforcement locally in Illinois. Tom, is that fair assessment of what the bill is trying to do?
Yes, totally. You know, when I first saw the bill proposed, I called some of my contacts still in law enforcement and asked them if they'd even heard that this legislation was being proposed, and they had not. And it outraged me mm-hmm. because I read it word by word. And if you read the proposed legislation, it would prevent ICE agents from current ICE agents and even past ICE agents from being local police in Illinois, but all police. So the law would take into account local policing, state, county, college, and university police. It's if you are a certified police agency in Illinois, you would not be able to hire ICE agents. And I, first of all, I don't even think it's constitutional. I think it's sure, absolutely right. not constitutional. And right. It would not withstand a court challenge, in my opinion. But think about this. These ICE agents, you know, a lot of them come from the military. So they're yeah. in the military. They're military police or they're in other branches of the military. They go into ICE when they get discharged. And then after working for ICE for a couple of years, they want to come back. Say somebody wants to come back to Illinois. This is where they grew up. Right. And this law would prevent that individual from being a police officer here. How ridiculous is that?
Every John Cass News column starts with an idea that is watered by a good cup of coffee. That search for the perfect cup is where my love of coffee and writing began. And that perfect cup comes from Kribi Coffee, K-R-I-B-I Coffee, roasted locally in Chicago. Now, Kribi Coffee has coffee for your love. Let me tell you about the Be Mine Valentine's Gift Kit, a thoughtful Valentine's gift designed for coffee lovers. This curated set features our limited edition Be Mine blend, air roasted for a signature, always smooth, never bitter taste, with notes of red apple, caramel, and tangerine. It also includes a 15% off discount card, so the next bag is already covered. A classic coffee scoop, Valentine's gift bag, tissue paper, and a heart-shaped tag or a message. Be mine, sweetheart. Be my coffee, Valentine. Kribi Coffee, roasted locally in Chicago. That's KRIBICoffee.com. Have I told you that Kribi Coffee is not some exotic that you can't find anywhere? You can find it everywhere, including Joseph's Finest Meats. Kribi Coffee, where every cup of Midwestern common sense is air roasted, smooth, and never bitter. KRIBICoffee.com. Proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers.
And there are still requirements. I mean, it's not like this. That's the only requirement for becoming a cop or an law enforcement officer in Illinois or in any jurisdiction is just, you know, having worked for a previous officer. I mean, jurisdictions have their own requirements. Some of them require degrees. Some of them require specific degrees. Some of them require, you know, 2-year degrees. So what is that? I mean, this isn't just the only thing.
No, first of all, the ICE agents go through their own academy. Probably about 6 to 8 weeks. They go through all the normal firearms training, physical fitness, and then federal rules and regulations. So they go through their federal training academy. Now, if they were to come to Illinois, They would go through most likely the Illinois Police Academy. It may be accelerated because we do that already for lateral
Sure.
transfer. So it's nothing we don't do already. So if one officer wants to move from Riverside, Illinois, where I worked, to Springfield, Illinois Police Department, there is a fast track program where you can go and be a lateral transfer. The same would probably apply for ICE agents, but it still is Illinois training, Illinois firearms training, ethics training, Illinois law on laws. You don't just pop over to the police department, hop in the squad car, and start patrolling.
Right? It's not just changing uniforms.
Yes.
Listen, you guys, it helps Pritzker. It helps Pritzker and the Democrats to hate cops publicly because they're wagging their little porky fingers at them. Like, yeah, you coppers aren't going to come around here. But I'm looking at the stats. Illinois is facing a severe multi-year police staffing crisis. It reads 60% of agencies in Illinois reporting shortages as of 2022, and it's worse now. High retirement rates and resignations, particularly in Chicago, is down 2,000 officers. And I keep hearing stories from CWB, bodies lying in the street, dead bodies get shot at 10 o'clock one night and they're left there till the morning. I can't believe that. But Brandon Johnson's shot spotter's not working and they're left there. We need cops. We don't need rhetoric. I don't know. That's my piece. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I can. You know, I will tell you that if this proposed bill was to ever be adopted, it would not only affect recruiting, it would affect retention. We're already having a recruiting problem. Chicago has publicly stated that their 2,200 officers are so down. Every agency's having a difficult time. And where this started is after the George Floyd riots and incident in
right.
Minneapolis. This is when recruiting started to plummet. When I was chief and when I left in 2021, we gave an exam and we had openings. This is a suburban department. We had 10 people show up. When I took the exam for patrolman, now that was a long time ago, over 30 years ago, there were 300 applicants when I applied. So we were having difficulty. And the difficulty in retention is, think about this. Who wants to work in a state that passes anti-police legislation all the time, doesn't support police? The elected officials aren't supporting police publicly, especially our state elected officials. And you can go to other states where they do support policing and have programs that help you transfer over. I just read an article that Texas and Florida are the number one in two states of attracting police officers from Illinois.
I know two young men in their late 20s, athletes, six-footers, reasonably fit, supportive of law enforcement, who thought seriously about becoming police because, well, interesting job, new stuff every day, it's not boring. But they turned it down. They tossed the concept out the window because, well, the politicians in this state support lawyers who sue police than they do the police themselves. And they're not gonna embark on a career where they have to look over their shoulder every time that their political boss is gonna destroy them. People don't. Tom, how do you recruit with that?
It's very difficult, and no police officer wants to be the next YouTube sensation and usually
right.
take it out of context. But it's very difficult. You know, here's one of the things how it's these not only this piece of legislation we're speaking of, which is SB 2820, is that, you know, officers will do the bare minimum. And I know that people maybe don't want to hear this, but when you're receiving no support from
oh,
your
God.
Statewide elected officials and you're
God.
Trying to cut the officers at all times, you're trying to not pass positive legislation, not do any positive legislations for current police officers, what happens is proactive policing goes out the window. Self-initiated policing goes out the window. And that is a really dangerous slope to go down because police officers not only need to answer the radio calls, they also need to be out there proactively It's traffic stops, checking out situations, proactively doing self-initiated activity. And if that starts to go away here in Illinois, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah. Even the police who are on the job, are in a different mindset than they were pre-pandemic and pre-George Floyd and then Laquan McDonald. And I mean, there's been a morale dive over the last 10 years without question. This bill is kind of nonsense. I mean, at the end of the day, this is, as John, you said, this is just so they can wag their finger. This is just they're playing this
But
gamesmanship.
there's nothing nonsense about it.
But it is, because
There's
it's
nothing.
not going to pass, and the whole point of it is not about passing the bill. It's not about safety. It's not about even being it being constitutionally legal. Because as we talked about, I mean, you're specifically carving out a subjective group and saying, "Oh well, I'm going to go and hell make them not cops." I mean, it's there's no chance of this being a real thing. But yet,
Who knows
it's
that? I can't say that.
well be, for those reasons,
What
John.
do
I
you
mean
mean
that
there's
it's it this. This is how politics. This is how politics in Illinois works. People does the dirty secret that every elected official files a shell bill every year, and they wait until the moment where they think they can get some capital out of it, and then they attach something to it. They write up something really quick. That's why it's usually never legal. And then they throw it to the powers that be within the big Democratic Party and say, "Oh, you got it, home run. Put this through. Now we can drum up the media machine and get this out there. And look, we can do. They'll do our bidding." I mean, this is the gamesmanship, John, we've been talking about for weeks on the podcast. This isn't
Yeah,
safety. This
well,
isn't passing this bill. These people don't give a crap about that. It's about being able to come out and score the media points against whatever it is. And this time it's ICE and cops again. I mean, that's the game.
but this isn't just an isolated thing. This is in keeping with the philosophies of two very important Democrats in the state. One, Pritzker, Governor Pritzker, who not only hates ICE and making things difficult for every ICE officer. And two, Tony Preckwinkle, this is my opinion, Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President and Chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party. She's another anti-cop Democrat, and there are many who are falling into that sphere. They're not alone. I mean, this is not just an isolated thing, is what I'm saying.
Well, I know that's the gamesmanship, John. This is the game they're playing, and they're playing it, at an expert level compared to, well, Republicans, unfortunately, in the state to have any sort of countervailing force. But Tom, I mean, where do you need to get this out there to make sure people know what the, I mean, just how foolish this thing is?
Yeah, I was recently named a fellow, law enforcement fellow for Awake Illinois, and I have brought this to their attention, and we are starting a grassroots effort to get the bill pulled. I would actually like to see the sponsor just pull the bill. Like, it shouldn't even move beyond where it's at. I would hope that moderate Democrats wouldn't even support this. I mean, think about this. You're smearing a class of people, individuals. They would never allow this to happen in another context, right? You'd never see Illinois say, if you live in Tennessee, we're
Right,
going to
that's
pass a law that you can't come to Illinois and be a surgeon. Okay, so
right.
so I would hope that this would just be pulled. And remember, this state representative is running for Congress right now, right? So I think that this is a media grabber. And you were talking earlier about shell bills, and you're absolutely right. That happens. I lobbied for years in Illinois as part of the Illinois Chiefs Legislative Committee, and I can tell you there's two things I learned real quick. Is that they file shell bills all the time. And there's this other thing they do. Whenever a state legislator tells you that they're going to put a sunset clause on the legislation, they're lying. Once that legislation gets passed, it's never going away. Don't believe them.
Let's get her name. Let's get her name. Give her, she needs
Laura
the,
Fine from Glenview.
yeah, she needs the credit, media credit, so I'll give it to her. Laura Fine. Now let's understand who her constituencies are. Her constituent is one Katie Abraham, who we spoke about last week. This is the Laura Fine who tried to reach out to Joe Abraham and get him to support her in some devious, underhanded way, and she came out with this legislation. So this is who she is. You've got a kid in her own district who got slaughtered by an illegal driving 80 miles an hour drunk and ran away. And this is who they're protecting.
Who twice has been, who got away due to lax sanctuary laws that didn't alert the federal authorities.
Right.
So, I mean, who's really got safety at mind?
Definitely not Democrats.
Definitely not, right.
I hate to say that because I know a lot of Democrats in the old days were pro-police. I mean, I know these are neighborhood guys that I knew, and so did Tom. All of us, yeah. All these West, I could, you know, the guys at the bar at, what's that place? Golden Shell, right? The great steakhouse in the, on the West Side. And all those guys, if you ask one of them, they would all have been Democrats and they would all have been pro-police. But those days are over.
You know, I would hope that this would go beyond a Republican-Democrat issue. It would just be the public safety, and residents and citizens of Illinois would realize they want public safety. I mean, they do. I mean, the core of policing is when you call 911, the police come. You want qualified individuals responding to your request for service, your request for help. Everybody wants that as a core. You know, as police chiefs, we could get rid of detectives and canine officers and school resource officers, but because the core job we provide is answering those 911 calls and coming to your home. So that's what I'm saying here, and not supporting this bill and asking it to be pulled is, this is about public safety. It isn't about politics. But then again, I know we live in Illinois.
Right. The Chicago way is alive and well. Unfortunately, it's a different Chicago than it was. You know, Tom, you get this fellowship with Awake Illinois. I mean, what do you, besides this, or what are you working on in that capacity? I know that's kind of a new role, but.
Yeah. So I'm working on, it's a volunteer position, which I want to do. I want to Sure. give back to my profession. And that's what, when they asked me if I would be interested in serving as a law enforcement fellow, they wanted me to advise them on legislation. I'm going to be writing some op-eds specifically for Awake Illinois. And I'm going to be following legislation for them, advising them on public safety issues, and giving them a real police perspective on officer safety issues and what is really needed. So my lane working for Awake Illinois, or volunteering and being appointed this fellow, is law enforcement. That is going to be law enforcement, the courts, and legislation. And that is going to be what I'm going to be advising their organization on.
Now, you've got a piece in Substack called The Memo, in which you're discussing the common belief and misconception that Chicago and the rest of Illinois share the same attitude toward policing, but it's really not true. And what's the future of policing in Illinois, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I wrote that. Yeah. I wrote that column, which you mentioned, the memo. I have a Substack column. And because people think that we are all one, that every policing tactic or policy or rules is a state issue. And we all know, especially us that live in the metro Chicago area, that it is very different policing here from it is central and southern Illinois. Very much different. So I wanted to kind of lay that out to say that, you know, what's happening in the city of Chicago is not happening everywhere in Illinois, at these other smaller rural areas. But they still are police agents. They still are sheriff's departments. So to try to pass laws or policies that affect Chicago, and then you pass that as a state law, I can tell you it's causing havoc in central and southern Illinois because they don't operate the same way.
Well, one thing happened recently the other day. I'd like to ask you both about it. A gentleman was charged with soliciting the murder of an ICE agent, Gregory Bovino, and he put out a memo, like a text or something, $10,000 for to kill Bovino. It went to court, and the jury acquitted him. I don't understand how that happened, but what do you guys think? How did that happen, for God's sake?
Well, you know, my opinion of that, I could give you a quick opinion. They had really good evidence in that from what I saw, at least was publicly available.
Right.
So I've gotten, I've been involved in cases when I was a detective or even a patrolman where I had less evidence than that and got conviction. So I'll tell you that up front. And then the other thing is, I had somebody tell me the other day that this wasn't a acquittal because it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
I had a law enforcement executive tell me that it was an acquittal because it's associated with Trump. That's what they told me. They said this isn't about that. The jury wasn't rendering a decision based on what took place with the commander, the street commander, and the death threat against him. This was just people who just don't like President Trump.
This is so that what you're talking about is nullification on the scale of the Southern Confederacy. Same type of idea.
Yeah, well, aren't you? I don't think, you know, even this bill we were talking about, that people are like, I think that this bill was even introduced because the state elected official, you know, hates President Trump. I don't, a lot of times I think these individuals that are protesting in Broadview, Illinois, around, you know, these ICE agents are your neighbors. Right. They go to church with you. They coach your kids' baseball and football
teams.
These
people, they don't go to church. Those protesters don't go to church.
I just think that they don't like Trump. They don't like President Trump. And it is really evident that he could propose any initiative. And it would be, you know, they would protest against it.
Jeff?
There's no doubt all that is true. That there's certainly an animus that people have against Trump, and it's, you know, rooted to the core of them because it is. I mean, we've seen it pounded into their heads, you know, since Trump popped onto the screen in 2015.
And to be fair, he helps. He helps perpetuate it with his behavior.
Yeah, sure. And he thrives off of that because he's very smart and he can move quickly and respond faster than most people and is good at controlling narrative. I mean, the case that we're talking about, we didn't really dive super deep into it, but I can see why this guy's got off because, you know, he texted two buddies,
his brother,
$10,000, which he didn't have. And there was no follow up action. And I could see a court, you know, getting away. The fact they were trying to get him on some, you know, a conspiracy to commit murder, I think is, you know, probably was the reach there. If they had gone to some other crime of, you know, general skullduggery, as you'd call it, they probably could have gotten him on something.
I personally disagree.
Well, this guy didn't have this money.
I don't care if he had the money.
Well, the guy didn't. Right, that's the case. You're trying
I've
to
been
say,
in
wow.
Court cases Black Gangster Disciples, the whole Shorty Freeman family. I've been in court with that. And somebody in that family shouted at a federal prosecutor, "We should kill this MF. Okay? We should kill this guy."
Okay.
And you know what? Charges were slapped on, and there was a jail sentence immediate. There was no screwing around.
That case doesn't sound fair either, because the Constitution protects you to say stupid
in a courtroom.
Yeah, because people are stupid and they don't realize the impact of what they do. You can hold someone in contempt for something like that, but because they're disrupting a courtroom, not because of what they said. So it's a slightly different analogy. I mean, if we're going towards the idea of freedom of speech, I can see why this guy got off because there was nothing else around it. The guy didn't have the money. He didn't follow up with this guy. He didn't say, "Hey, I really want you to kill this guy. How much would it cost?" He said, "Man, we should. For $10,000, we should kill this guy." You know, that the people are crazy and stupid. You know, if we threw everybody in jail for that, there were other people who are much more dangerous and probably plotting things that we should be going after. So I can see why this guy got off. I don't think it's just because cut and dry is, and everybody hates Trump, so that's why this guy's free. I mean, I just don't think it's that simple.
Yeah, I believe that you're right. It's in one observation is the courts do like to look at, was there any step in furtherance? Mm-hmm. So they do like to see. That,
yeah, and
you know, not only did
I think a guy should be punished. I mean, I think there should have been some sort of, you know, at least doing community service for being, you know, an idiot and causing this whole thing and having a case drawn up in the court. But that doesn't really always work like that.
No, and you know, in Illinois, I mean, look at it. I know it's a federal charge. When you look at the state charge, numerous times officers are threatened. So they make you just make a simple DUI arrest, and the individual is so drunk he threatens to kill you and your family. Right. Well, you can charge him in Illinois with assault. You can charge him with that. Now, what happens in court is another thing, but it's a misdemeanor. But there, you don't have to make a furtherance to actually assault the officer to charge him. You don't have to commit a battery to have the charge of assault. But I think, you know, that's a something that I look at when these cases, but the federal government, I understand this is a much more serious charge than a simple assault, you know, when you make a DUI arrest.
Right.
But there is a statute that allows that in Illinois.
Good for that. I mean, that should be where it stands. I mean, you can't, there has to be consequences for dumb, stupid actions that cause, you know, disruption. I mean, just to,
I agree.
So, John, we can agree to disagree on the just. I mean, and I don't mean to discount what you guys, you know, that's the point that you're making, because we know there's no doubt that the system is lilted. I mean, and Tom, one of the things that we've, you know, kind of moved around is that it's the public officials are passing these laws. They're also passing the Safety Act, which was a disaster and is still a growing disaster. I mean, there are right, exactly, and so I don't think we need to reach anywhere. I mean, not that case is reached, but I mean, there's so many blatant cases of this type of mentality. What else is out there, Tom? That beyond this, that have you seen that people should be aware of?
Yeah, well, there's. I think the other piece of ridiculous legislation is dead now. But you might remember at the end of 2025, there was a proposal that if you attacked and battered a police officer and you claimed you had a legitimate mental health issue, the police could not charge you. You may have recalled that. Oh, that has since died. The Safety Act, the governor has indicated for the first time ever that he may be open to tweaks. And, you know, there's no coincidence that came after this poor CTA passenger was lit on fire, the most abusive. So, I mean, there's no coincidence that he's open maybe to tweaking it after the poor woman was lit afire, which is, you know, just...
Her name was Bethany McGee. Bethany McGee. And this guy was arrested 72 times. And, you know, the only action I saw of reprimand was on one of the writers for my news site, Judge James Brown, who dared criticize judges for, he was a bond judge for 18 years, and he dared criticize judges for letting people out too early, you know, let them out on pretrial detention.
Yeah, and not to mention that all the police chiefs who came out and pointed out a lot of these problems and these issues on the Safety Act at the time, they wouldn't hear it. Oh, but now it's in their best media interest to come out just in case, you know, he's not running for mayor or president or whatever.
You know, I agree there. I did some research, you know, on the bill we were talking about. You know, Illinois is the only state. There is currently no other state in the United States of America that is proposing disqualifying ICE agents from being police officers. We're the only state. And then, you know, they tout that. And then we came out with the Safety Act, which got rid of bond hearings, and now it's called First Appearance Court. And they touted that as progress and reimagining policing. I remember Kim Fox made a statement that she wanted to reimagine policing. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, what is that? Right. What is that? Like, so
it sounds like an acid dream.
You know, they want to lead the country in these radical positions, especially in legislation that, you know, unfortunately our legislators are not even taking the police chiefs and superintendents and sheriffs' opinions. They don't even seek their opinions anymore before they file these bills. And, you know, police officers and police chiefs, we don't expect to win every battle. They're realistic, but we just want a fair shot, and we just want a fair playing system. And when it comes to legislation, you need to take our opinions of how it affects our department's recruiting, retention, and operational procedures. They used to do that. I'm telling you, they used to ask before. They never ask anymore.
Remember what Richard Daley said, Richard J. Daley. Where are we going in this kind of society?
Yeah.
Where are we going? We're going to hell. That's where we're
Well,
going.
that's yeah. It's because they don't care about the result. This is a nonsense that just gets comes out of this left wing group that just has
Left
the
wing group is
power.
the Democratic Party, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. The Democratic Party.
Okay.
Well, exactly. They've taken control of Illinois, and it's their proving
Yeah.
ground now for that stuff. But they don't feel like there's no repercussions. There's no understanding of long term effects other than they hold on to power, and it's just creating havoc and forcing them to have to go back and, well, it doesn't have to face the safety act because we didn't listen to anybody when we were putting it together the first
Tweak
time.
it. We'll
Right. It's
tweak it.
so stupid.
And it's easy to say, public safety is your priority when it's not, or this law isn't needed, this one is. When you have 100 bodyguard detail, or you have on these even our state elected officials, and I'm not saying elected officials do need to be protected. We've seen that in violence against elected officials. But when you have these large security details, it's pretty easy for you to say that while everybody else still has to live in their homes in the neighborhoods and doesn't have the protection you do.
Right.
Well, from the perspective of a police chief, that issue, the Brandon's bodies issue, when you have people shot dead and on the street hour after hour, and nobody responds, nobody calls the cops, nobody. I mean, what happens to public order in that kind of situation?
What happens is chaos and lawlessness. And as you said, CWB Chicago's documented very, very clearly the amount of either individuals being shot or killed throughout Chicago in areas that the shot spotter used to be at. They've gathered the
Right.
data. And in some cases, police officers were not called at all. And the bodies were found by other citizens, and they had reportedly laid there for an extended period of time. I can't get my head around that. I don't, the shot spotter, I wrote another Substack column on that. It was pulled for political reasons. The mayor ran on that. He was pleasing his
Yeah.
base, but it was it, even the superintendent came out and said he wanted it. His
Well,
own superintendent said he wanted it, and they
it's
still
the
got rid of it.
yeah, and it's the same administration who canceled it and said, well, we canceled it. We're going to take this money and put it towards what we think is important, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out that the money is specifically tied toward tech for police and that they had to then find and spend that money another way because it had been written into the statute. And so that's just this failure of forethought that this group has that just winds up causing so much more havoc and ruining people's lives.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And it's a shame, and it's a crisis, I believe. I mean, they haven't replaced ShotSpotter with anything, and they're not
Right.
going to. It's just going to be the technical, like you spoke about. It's going to be data and technical. He famously called it a fancy walkie-talkie. So that's not what it is. It's a tool. But we see a pattern here, right? They took away the gang database. They took away ShotSpotter. They don't want police officers involved in vehicle or even foot pursuits. There was a proposal, as ludicrous as this sounds, there was a proposal in Springfield that would limit police officers just where they could fire their stun guns on an individual's body. Now, I want you to imagine that. Like, they were going to
Jeez.
make it unlawful for the prongs to hit certain parts of the body, which is impossible to control when
Right.
you're in a fight with somebody. Now, that legislation didn't pass, but they wanted to propose that you couldn't shoot your stun gun at certain parts of the body. Now, how ludicrous is that?
It's about as ludicrous as a citizen, usually a woman. Coming up to a cop at a party and saying, "What? Well, why can't you just shoot the gun out of their hand? Why do you have to kill him?" You've heard that, right? I'm not making
Yeah.
this up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
They're like, why did you shoot him in the leg or the arm, or why didn't you do that? And first of all, they're not trained that way. And sometimes, if they did hit the individual in the shoulder or the knee, their shot was not on target. Let's face it. police officers are not trained to wound. They're trained to stop the threat.
All right.
It looks to me like, Jeff, that Chief Tom has his work cut out for him.
Certainly.
Now, are you going to wake these people up? Are you going to be able to wake them up as you work with Wake Illinois and get these people going?
Yeah, I'm hoping that these grassroots common sense issues that affect everybody's public safety, no matter if you're living in the North Shore, Chicago, or you're living in Central Illinois, they're a public safety issue that once you hear the arguments for this or against it, that you at least listen. That you, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you at least listen to this common sense narrative that we'll put out, that I'll put out from Awake Illinois and my position. I'm not saying everybody is going to agree with me. In fact, I don't even know that that's where we should be going. I mean, we should be going towards the center because we're not going to change everybody. If, let's be realistic. It's like somebody asked me, Tom, why are you not advocating for elimination of the Safety Act? Well, you know what? I am. I would love for the Safety Act to go away, but it's not going to. So the only way for me to make an impact is to get some changes and updates to the act. So I want people to know that I'm realistic, that Awake Illinois is realistic, and we want to move people to look at our policies and our thoughts and say, okay, I'll give it a look. I'll give it a listen.
That sounds good to me. Tom, great having you on. Great for keeping us in the know and the insight here. And we'll follow up with you as you are going to have to be our eyes and ears on the idiocy meter in Springfield this session.
Yeah, yeah, reach out to me at any time. I'm going to be traveling to Springfield to do some in-person lobbying. So it's not just going to be sitting behind a desk. I'm going to be involved. I'm well familiar with the lobbying process. But I'm not just somebody sitting in the ivory tower doing nothing. I will be out there advocating for policing and public safety.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
For Tom Weitzel, retired police chief of Riverside and member of the West Suburban Police Chiefs Association, for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, and future physics teacher, as I always say, friend of cats, baker of pies. And for me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com, we always get a good cup of common sense, Midwestern common sense. And know that, Laura Fine, I'm offering you to come on with us and tell me why your legislation is so great and how you stabbed Joe Abraham in the back. Join us again next time on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.